B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Hey, Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Start of another week. How's everybody doing? It is the Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Well, a weekend of football and a weekend of beautiful weather. Oh, my God. Play golf in January here. How about that? And then the rest of the day, you look forward to football. What a leisurely weekend. The Eagles weren't involved, so I know that most of this town, when the Eagles aren't involved, kind of tunes out. So you may have half-heartedly looked at the NFC-AFC games over the weekend. I looked at them closely, and I came to the conclusion that it really didn't matter if the Eagles had survived, right? Because let's face it, the Eagles couldn't have beat any of those teams that advanced, right? Could you have seen them beating any of those teams that advanced to the Final Four at this point? Probably not, which leads you to the conclusion that the Eagles lack a lot of what I saw was speed. I saw dynamic speed. All the teams that won had dynamic speed. You look at the Packers, they get a great quarterback, but Devontae Adams is tremendous. Eagles don't have a player like that. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Carson Wentz is never going to be as good as Mahomes, is he? I mean, he'll be all right, but with the skilled players and that quarterback, that team should be really good for a really long time. It was shocking that the Ravens went out so limply. It was shocking that Bill O'Brien coached his way maybe out of a job. But otherwise, you looked at these teams and you go, Eagles weren't as good as these teams. They've got a big hill to climb. They've got to be creative. They've got to build now. They're far from being one of these teams that could actually win something. And I know people don't care. So this is indigenous to Philadelphia. When we're not involved, we kind of lose interest. And that's okay, because we're very provincial and we like our teams. But there is the Andy Reid factor that's involved now. And it's an interesting conversation because people talk about this. When you want to see Andy Reid win a Super Bowl, and it must be me. And it must be because I'm heartless. I couldn't give a flying flip whether Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl. Means nothing to me. Am I unsentimental? Because I don't care that Andy Reid wins. When a lot of people, be nice. So many people at the golf course this week, wouldn't it be nice if Andy won a Super Bowl? Yeah, why? What's that do for me? He didn't win one here. Why would I care that he wins one somewhere else? I'm probably heartless. Am I heartless, Tyrone?
No. No, I don't want Andy Reid to win because of anything he did here.
Uh-huh.
I think that some of the things he's done while he was here and since is noble. Uh-huh. So I end up picking, so I have a rooting interest, and I picked him over the other four because Lamar and them went out. But it's not, I don't think you're heartless for not. I don't think you have any obligation whatsoever to
I have absolutely no skin in the game. I have no feeling at all for it. Which probably makes me heartless, right? He was here for a long time. You would think, it would be nice to say I have Andy Reid. I don't get that feeling with Andy Reid.
See, I do, but not necessarily because he was here. We know him, but I like the way he conducts himself versus the other three coaches remaining.
He's classy, And he goes to bat for his assistants, and all of his assistants seem to get good jobs because of the Andy Reid pedigree. He's got a nice tree.
That's why I'm rooting for him. That's why.
But, like, you know, when Vermeil was coaching the Rams, I was partial to Vermeil winning. Andy Reid does nothing for me. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't do a thing for me.
See, I always rooted against the greatest show on turf.
Really?
Yeah, which I guess makes me weird. I don't know.
Now, why didn't you root against the greatest show on turf? They were exciting.
They were.
They had a popular... Andy was less popular than Vermeil here for reasons that are, you know, obvious. Vermeil was an engaging guy. Andy Reid was kind of like a, you know...
Yeah, I think it's you're dealing with, because of my age, my dad was never a huge Vermeil guy because he looked at him like he choked the Super Bowl away.
Yeah.
That's how he looked at it. So my introduction to him was, oh, this guy choked the Super Bowl away.
Yeah, I get it. But he was probably like too young to, like back then, you know, he was kind of overmatched when it got to the Super Bowl. His methodology was a little overmatched. And then he grew, so I kind of appreciated that part of it. But
the evolution's
good.
But
the Andy Reid thing, I don't know. It's probably me. We'll get how people feel about this. But and also, like, your opinions watching the game and how far the Eagles are from being a really good team. You saw some good teams. Those four teams are good that are left, right?
Yeah, I thought the speed thing was the biggest thing I noticed. And the Chiefs have about four guys that are fast. I would take any one of them over what the Eagles have. Yeah. And obviously, the Packers, that was the thing that was most concerning to me.
You know, we both got trapped when it was 24-0.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at 24-0, and I look at the line also, right? Whether you bet on the game, you got +9.5. So you're up 33.5-0.
Yeah.
And you think, so I tweet out, well, if you know, listen, the Chiefs probably come back and win, but the cover's pretty safe at this point. Then all of a sudden they scored two touchdowns, and I go, all right, hold on to that thought for a second.
Yeah.
And you just knew they were going to collapse, and Bill O'Brien did his best to make that team collapse with ridiculous choking calls. Talking about a guy not thinking on his feet. It was that dude.
First, he doesn't go for it on 4th-and-1, which is fine to go up 24, which I thought, you want to put this team away because worst case, you're still up 21-0. But then I can live with the field goal, except then they follow with that stupid fake punt, and now they're off to the races.
I don't know what the reaction is in Houston, but I can tell you that in Philadelphia, if you blew a 24-0 lead and you give up 41 unanswered points, this would be the best week of sports talk radio ever. Right? People would be out of their minds. Now, Houston's probably a different climate. It's really interesting. You probably should listen to Houston Sports Talk Radio to find out what their reaction is. It's kind of a transient city. I don't know if it's like passionate like we are here about football, but that was an all-timer.
And it gets worse for Houston fans since you just brought it up. You can read it on the screen, Mike. They just got destroyed.
Oh, the baseball team?
Yeah, it just came down.
Yeah. You know, that's first. The picks in baseball, it's not, you know. So they got 1 year suspension for the manager, too?
Both of them.
Yeah, the general manager, I don't care about. The manager can't be on the field for a year?
Whole year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's stunning. See, the first round, second round picks, it's like in baseball, you never know if they're going to pan out anyway, right? So, like the NBA. But the suspending the manager for an entire year is pretty substantial.
Apparently, the manager knew about it and was on board with it and signed off on it, and that's why they banked.
It's funny to me more than tragic, the baseball thing. But let's move over to Ben Simmons, because I know Anthony was talking a lot about Ben, and the most recent Ben is the one we react to. All right, 2 games ago, Ben looked good, right? He all across the board, he was okay. This is a continuing, this is like the never-ending washer cycle with Ben Simmons. It just keeps going around and around, and it never stops, right? So this is what you got. And I am no longer going to react to it. I said that I would give it like 40 games to figure out what we have with Ben Simmons. I was hopeful. It's not going to happen. He is not going to be what everybody thinks he should be. So it's certainly not going to change this year. It may not change ever where he becomes the 25-point game scorer that he should be, in addition to the assists and rebounds and floor game and all that stuff that he and defense, all that stuff that he does well. Unfortunately for Ben, he is a talent that we're always going to look for to give us more. And that is within his control, and he's obviously not embracing the control of that because he very easily could be a 25-point scorer in this game. So, here's the thing. Either you live with it or you eventually give up on it. Right now, the fan base has no choice but to live with it. Maybe if it continues for a couple of years, they will have to give up on the premise of Ben Simmons being the superstar that we all thought he could be. But at that point, you're only going to get 70 cents on a dollar. So you may be married to this Ben for a really long time. And hence, you may be married to this kind of frustration during his career. So the Sixers right now, the only thing I can say is, instead of hoping that the Ben thing, they have to work around the Ben thing. And they have to find a way to make this team better and a championship caliber with this kind of Ben and no more. And to do that, they're going to have to add, they're going to have to be more creative, they're going to have to get better talent. Because he's not going to give you the extra 10 points that he is expected to give you, that we hope he gives you every game. We go like blindly into the night with this Ben Simmons thing based on hope. And it comes a point in time where you go, all right, this is all it's going to be. I hate to say that because I love the guy. I love the way he plays. I love the athleticism. But you're just not going to get what we think we're supposed to get from him. So you have to live with that. I feel calmer now coming to that conclusion. Because I was always on edge, hoping that it would be better, thinking it would be better. It's not going to be, at least not this year.
Well, I feel better and worse then. Better because like, I can relax and not expect it if I believe you. But yeah, worse than that, they can't win.
Right,
they
exactly. Win. You cannot win with this team, with this Ben. It's as simple as that. You want to con yourself into thinking that you can win a 7-game series to win the East? Fine. I don't think you can. I don't even know if you get there, frankly, the way this team plays on the road. But you're certainly not winning no NBA championship in your current form. Without, you have to now, it's like the Larry Brown thing, where he knew the only way you could win was to surround AI with a certain team. Well, you're going to have to now surround Ben with a certain team, which means your two has to give you a lot more points, and you're going to have to get a lot more points off the bench. Because otherwise, you're not going to get it done. And I know that's a hard conclusion, but it's a conclusion I've come to, which helps me not to be frustrated game to game with number 25. I'm worried about my mental health at this point. And so that's the way I've decided to handle it.
It'll be a big question we can get to on the other side then. Based on what you just said, it brings another tough question up, but we'll get to it.
Okay. 610-632-0975. See, I feel good now. I finally put it in the right pocket. There's nothing I can do about it. Like, you have two choices. Either you bang your head against a cinder block wall, get bloody, or you go, all right, this is the way it is. And maybe I'm brand down the line, brings in a couple shooters to help this whole situation, and then maybe I'll have a different aspect. But I ain't going to get 25 from Ben a night, which is what I should. Mike Missanelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. We're back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 620, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 2 o'clock hours brought to us by First and HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit First's counter location on North 7th Street, Philadelphia for equipment, parts, and supplies for heating and cooling job. Let's start the Twitter poll today, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're wondering what to get the family this year, how about if you take a shot with that Husqvarna automower, the robot lawnmower, the one I have from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Fantastic. Check it out in person at the showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 300 votes on this one early. Do you care about Andy Reid winning? 68% say yes, 32% say no.
All right, so the majority wants him to win.
Yeah.
I'll get for the majority. I'm just saying, I'm a heartless bastard. And right. I don't have any emotional connection to Andy Reid. In fact, if Andy Reid wins, it would make me feel worse.
Because he didn't win here.
That he didn't win here, and he had many opportunities to do it.
Right.
So there you go. That's just me.
Yeah.
It makes me a bad guy, doesn't it?
No.
But what about...
It makes me a bad guy, Natalie.
Well, what about this guy?
I'm embarrassed.
What if all he needed all along was Mahomes? And he had five. And that's why he didn't win. Because that's what it's looking more
another
more
shot.
Like.
You take another shot at five. Everybody wants to take a shot at five.
Five takes his share of shots. It's not like five's just like this vanilla... What is it? I can't
benevolent?
Pronounce it. Yeah. That word.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah, listen. Andy Reid's game plan wasn't good enough either.
That's true.
In conjunction with the quarterback, threw the ball into the ground.
That's fair. I could not believe they scored 51 out of 50. Uh-huh. They went on a 51-7 run. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was that other team just, you could see the fear in their eyes. My God. As soon as that train came running, they went running the other way.
Yep, they got right off them tracks.
Yes, they did. Luke in Westchester start things off. Luke, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Luke.
Hi, thanks for the call. First time caller, but
thanks,
I got 2 points.
Yes, sir.
General point about the Sixers and then Ben and JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that when Ben and Joe busted on the scene the first year, it was like really special. Everyone was like, whoa, this is kind of reminiscent of, not to a certain extent, but Magic and Kareem. And it was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We were bad for a while. Everyone's like, expectations were like, all right, let's get a roll. And these dudes, they're really with it like that. And then we're going for chips. And mm-hmm. we lost to Boston. It was disappointing. Next season, we got Butler and Toby and all them dudes. And we won. Once that game three, we beat Toronto. Everyone's like, all right, it's wraps. We're going chips, playing Warriors or something like that. Then we lost that game seven. And then this year, everyone's like, we're coming with it. We reloaded Horford, Jay Rich, defensive-minded. And they were preaching 60 wins within the organization to staff the players. And then when it didn't, nothing was clicking. It kind of got, that's where I think the annoyance came in with the Philadelphia fans. And then Brett was like, give us time, Christmas around Christmas. Then it was like, all right, come on. Then we beat the Bucks, but then we folded again.
Yeah, I get the history. You go with give me a history lesson here. I know everything you're telling me. What's your point?
My point is that with the Ben Simmons, JoJo stuff, even if they don't fit, I think they still have the talent to win a championship. And I think the Ben Simmons slander is kind of crazy.
You're kidding me, right? With this team, you think they win a championship?
The defense, yo.
How come it's not that effective on the road? That's a great defensive team.
That's where you're actually getting me. That's the one scary point.
They're 7-13 on the road. This team's going to win a championship?
That's why I think it's annoying that we were preaching 60 wins in the one seed or at least a two. Because I think we need
Let's get back to your prep. What makes you think this team is good enough to win an NBA title?
Well, I think once the game slows down, I know it's going to maybe affect Ben. But I think Joe's is that dude. I mean, like, he's gonna bust his ass and we go under the chip.
Yeah, I think
I think you're
Oliver optimistic here.
I'm feeling good.
How in the world right now do you feel good enough that this team's good enough to win an NBA title? What are we kidding? This team's not good enough to win an NBA title. We're smart fans. We know when a team is good enough to win a championship. This team's not good enough to win a championship right now in their current form.
No.
They got a max player who's not an alpha.
Yep.
I like him, but he doesn't take over enough to pull you out of jams. Jimmy Butler was good enough to pull you out of jams. Tobias Harris didn't pull you out of any jams. I mean, he may help you. He's a good player. He does a lot of things. But he's not, hey, Tobias, we need you here to pull us out of a jam and win. He's not that dude.
No.
All due respect.
You're absolutely right.
This defense, yeah. I drank the Kool-Aid too. Oh my God. This defense is going to shut teams down. They're going to be able to win a championship on defense. You see that now? They're good enough defensively to go, well, the one thing I trust is they can win a championship because they lock teams down. They don't lock anybody down the road. Who they lock it down?
Nobody enough on the road.
Come on, man. You got to, this team right now cannot win. I'm not saying they can't win if they get creative and bring in something and change the profile. But now the problem is you're going to be playing a certain way. Then the big guy comes back and then you got to readjust to the whole thing. I just don't feel clicky with this team right now. That things are going to click and everything's going to happen positively. And they're gonna, right now they're locked into a fifth seed, for crying out loud. I didn't expect that. Did you?
No, I didn't expect that. If they don't get the two seed, there has to be changes. Big changes. But big changes.
Why does it bother me when people go JoJo?
You don't like nicknames. But I mean, JoJo to me is not a fan. It's not like they're calling him like something. It's Joel Embiid calling
JoJo. I love Allah. I call him Happy Allah because he's Happy Allah.
Yeah.
Well, he goes JoJo all the time, and it's making me nuts.
But you didn't like Cesar either.
Yeah, no.
Consistent. You're right. Consistent.
Yeah, that's what it is. You don't like the nickname.
Cesar is not a nickname. That's his first name.
Right, but you didn't like
the nickname. He goes Joel. I'm better with Joel than JoJo. I just don't like the chumminess of the JoJo thing.
But it's kind of endearing. It's like endearing to the fans.
It is?
Yeah.
It's not endearing to me. I only hear Joel. His name's Joel. JoJo?
But you're not the regular fan watching the game.
They're not calling him JoJo, are they?
Yeah.
A lot of them are.
Yeah. Yes.
The ones that don't hate him.
I like him. I call him Joel.
No, I know you do. I'm talking about the fans. A lot of the fans that like him, that's what they've
done. I think
JoJo's a little too chummy.
All right. What about jetpacks?
It's like the hockey nicknames. Are they too chummy?
At times.
No. Well, yeah, but that's like what hockey players do.
Yeah, you're in the room.
How about the announcers?
But the announcers are kind of in the room.
If the announcers go, coots.
Yeah, but they're in the room.
Left wing to Coots. No, he doesn't need to. Jim Jackson is Couturier. He doesn't go Coots.
No, he doesn't go.
Like, if a writer covering the game would write Coots.
No, he can't do that.
Can't.
Coots roofed a one-timer.
Yeah, he can't.
All right, that's what I'm saying.
But if you're
That's journalism.
Broadcasting journalism,
squad,
too.
But in a way, they're kind of part of the squad.
All right. Joe in the Poconos. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe. Joe, what's up?
Yo, Joe, from the Poconos. Looking out the window here, Mike, do you guys like venison? Got some deer in the front yard?
No, I can't roll with venison, bro. No, I can't. First of all, I can't slaughter a deer for its meat. Second of all, it's too gamey for me, that taste.
Oh, you got to prepare it nice.
No, I can't do it.
There you go.
Too gamey.
Three points here. Number one, I was talking to my wife yesterday about Andy Reid. I'm like, I'm on the fence. Man, if he wins, do I want him to win? Do I don't want him to win? It's like, what happened? He left Philly. He lost all his energy, and all of a sudden he goes to Kansas City. He has all his energy back again. I love the guy for what he did for us and for what happened in Philly, but yet...
Well, he hasn't won squat in Kansas City. What energy?
Well, no. Those winning seasons.
He had winning seasons here.
Well, yeah, he did.
What energy? He had the same energy here.
We had a lot of enjoyment with those, but I agree with you that I don't really want to see him win one out there because he didn't win one here. But second point is Bill O'Brien, isn't he off the hook due to his defensive coordinator?
No, he made two stupid decisions in that game. You're up 24-7. What in the world are you thinking about going fake punt in your own territory? What is that? You're up 24-7.
I agree. I was shaking my head. I agree with you. 100%.
Ridiculous. There's so much more to lose. The last thing you want to do is give that team momentum.
And that's what he did, too, with a fake punt.
Yeah, that is totally out of line. Listen, you want to do a fake punt if you're like at the 40 on there, they're 40. That makes more sense. But that's ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, Ben Simmons, I agree with you. Would he make bring somebody else high profile in, a better player? Would he still make a nice, good teammate, compliment someone else? I mean, the other night, he looked like he had a bad game against Boston, but he had 18 points.
He did. He needs to score 25. Yeah, he didn't score, yeah. He didn't score in the second half of that Dallas game. Seriously? Are you serious, Joe?
No.
I mean, come on. You don't score in the second half? I understand you're playing hard defense, but you can run all day. You got to score in the second half, don't you?
Yes. That's not too much to ask.
Seriously.
Like if
they're going to prevent you from getting to the basket, there's got to be another way for you to score. That's the whole problem with this dude.
And that goes back to this team will go as far as him and Joel will take them. Now, Joel's out right now with the finger. Figure out when he gets. There's nothing you can do about that right now. It's not good. But
I got no problem with what I know Joel's going to give me. I have a continual problem, game in and game out, about what 25 is going to give me. I can't tolerate it anymore. And so instead of driving myself crazy, I go, all right, well, I can't expect it. My problem is I've been expecting it.
But I'm with you, though, because mm-hmm. If I see greatness in a guy, and you've seen greatness in a guy, your mm-hmm. eye, you talk about your eye all the time.
Yes.
He has greatness
yes,
within,
he does.
In the DNA somewhere.
Yep.
But if he's not going to unlock it, they can't win. And then, so then you're talking about making changes. So I have to ask long term, not this year like these people do after every single loss, but long term, if he's not going to unlock it, mm-hmm. do you then have to move Joel?
No, you never move Joel. It may get to a point where you just get so frustrated Ben Simmons is not going to happen. But that's down the road. That's at least 2-3 years down the road.
So this year, you give it at least this year and a whole nother year
before
you get
there.
Yeah,
because you can't do anything about it. You're only going to get 70 cents on a dollar. It's better to keep hoping than to give up now. Because you still, he's 23 with greatness in him. Now, if it gets to be 26... then you go, all right, it's never going to happen.
No, I'm saying, do you trade Embiid because you say, I need to surround this guy? There's people out there who think, surround him with four shooters. That's why the Warriors are pushing so hard to get him, because he doesn't have to shoot with them. Because he'd have Curry and Thompson. Yeah. He'd never have to shoot with those guys. So I wonder if there's people who think that because they go, oh, well, this guy's healthier and younger, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know what they're going to do, but they have to play this out for a couple more years and see what they got. If it doesn't happen, then you reset. But I gotta be honest with you. I think it's freaking selfish of Ben Simmons.
Really?
It's selfish of Ben Simmons not to explore his full potential because he's hurting his team. If you're a true teammate, you have to take inventory of your own self and go, I'm hurting my team by not being what I can be. There's no reason for him not to shoot a basketball. So does the thought come into his head that by me not shooting a basketball, I am hurting my team? Well, that's freaking selfish. Let's go to Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, you're 100% right. I think he is being selfish. You know, if his team can be better with him shooting the three, by all means, he's got to do it. You know, he's getting paid like an NBA player. You know, he's struggling at the foul line. He doesn't want to shoot a three. You know, he's not making his team any better with what he's doing. Is there a way that a team can, you know, somehow guard him to not score a single point? I mean, I know he dunks and, you know, he's fast and everything like that. But, you know, if he gets, you know, if he scores 5 points a game this game, 6 points a game this game, you know, can he think, oh, well, you know, maybe I have to shoot the three because of how teams are guarding me then?
This is the big million-dollar mystery here because obviously he sees how they're playing him defensively, right? So the thought doesn't cross his mind, well, they're preventing me from getting to the basket by doing this. So I can defeat that by doing this. That second thought doesn't come to his head. It's what makes me crazy to the point where instead of making myself crazy, I got to go, okay, well, it's not going to happen.
And whether he shoots the three or not, he's still going to get criticized no matter what. You know, if a miracle happens and he starts making threes or actually attempting threes, you know, everyone's going to be like, oh, well, what took you so long to...
I don't even care about the three, Thomas. Brett Brown cares more about the three than I do. I just care about, hey, stop and make a 15-footer like everybody else in the league can. I just don't get it.
Now, one other question as well with Al Horford, with Embiid out. do you see Horford starting every game and playing every day, game, or you know, do you see Pell, you know, in the starting lineup?
Yeah, he's, they're gonna load management Horford too, so he'll they can't stretch him to play every game.
Yeah, and the thing with Andy Reid, you know, I'm hoping he does win a Super Bowl. I mean, you know, the Eagles won a couple years ago. You know, I think, you know, now with Andy Reid coaching the Chiefs, you know, I think it's his turn, even though he didn't win it with us. You know, that's the only thing I you know, I disagree. You know,
good for him. Good
that's
for,
my opinion.
Good for Andy. I'm glad for him. I don't care. I'm just saying, if he went, like, I'm not invested in him winning, and it would only make me feel worse about what they didn't do here. So, but if it happens, what do you want me to do? I can't prevent it from happening. I mean, it looks like the stars are in alignment for him to win it, right? Since the Ravens went out limply.
It does. They get another home game. Yeah. It does.
Is he going to lose to San Francisco?
They will not lose to San Francisco if they get there.
No, because
maybe this Titans thing is real. I don't know how, but it might be real.
Yeah. Ryan Tannehill will win another game.
And the other thing is, I want to see them if they really fall behind. You see, they're able to be front runners and run the ball as much as they're doing, because he's had less than 100 yards both games.
Yeah.
Let the Chiefs get up 10-0 even. I do wonder if the Titans, all of a sudden, they can't hand the ball off every time.
Yeah. The Titans are limited.
But that 49ers, they hit that quarterback. I don't know if you can beat the Chiefs hiding your quarterback. That's why I don't think the 49ers. The Packers would be their best.
The 49ers beat the Packers, but they don't beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Thomas in Germantown. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, how you doing? Can I rave with this a little bit about these Sixers?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Because I like your time. I heard different analysts, you know, on different stations saying, you know, they need to make trades. I've heard about Tobias Harris a couple weeks ago said we didn't put up the effort. Some games that we lost that we should have won.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you, I don't like to say that word, but who do you put the blame on the Sixers?
Who has the most talent on the floor, in your opinion? With Embiid on the floor, who has the most talent on that team right now?
I can't really say it, really.
It's not a hard question. 25 has the most talent. 25 has to step up the game.
Right, he does.
Tobias Harris is what he is. He's a good player. He's not a takeover player.
Okay, the last game that I saw, after a layup, they're just standing there. I wonder what Chris Brown tells these players as far as rebounding, because I've never seen no rebounding. Somebody shoot the ball for the Sixers and the team, they off to the races. It's not one or two players back waiting to try to rebound the ball.
Yeah, so, I'm not really sure what you're getting at. I'm beyond the Brett Brown thing is too easy. It's Brett Brown's fault. If 25 scores 25 points a game, are they a better team?
Of course.
How is it possible that he does not score 25 points a game with his talent level?
I don't know. But here's one more thing.
Yes.
I know what you're going to say, but I got to say it anyway. Because I've heard people say it in talk with friends. This going to the basket, into the rim, I heard other analysts, they're telling them, okay, you can shoot the three, but wait till they get to the rim, they turn around and kick it back out.
Your gremlin on your line is preventing me from hearing you clearly. But what I'm hearing is that he gets it to the rim and kicks it back out. He does it all the time. You don't think the coaches are trying to correct that in him? the coach doesn't tell him. When you're on the floor, you play by instincts, right? So, like, when he goes to the basket and they wall it off the basket instead of power into the basket, which he can every single time, right? Or stopping before he gets to the wall defense and shooting a little jump shot, or throwing up a little floater, he would rather go in the air, get himself caught, turn his back, kick it out. Now, does that make any sense to you? Is that a Brett Brown fault? or is that the instincts of the player? 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 246. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. The Eagles, a little later, we get into talking about. Because there was really. Was it yesterday's paper where they went through every player? Yes. The Inquirer yesterday had every player, whether they should stay or go. And there are a lot of players going.
Yeah, no, they had it Friday.
Was it Friday?
Yeah, and they re-showed it because I printed it out Friday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought they put it in Sundays.
I think they
did a whole page on it.
Maybe it was online first, and then they put it in the paper.
Yeah, they put it in because I get the one paper I do get is the Sunday.
That's
paper.
The one I get, yeah.
That's my habit. It's a Sunday, actually a broadsheet paper on a Sunday. I know it's archaic, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I like folding it up.
I get it, too.
Seeing the whole thing.
I get it delivered, too. On Sunday.
Just on Sunday.
I have the digital subscription for the week, and then I get the Sunday paper delivered.
Yeah, I wander out to the driveway in my slippers.
Yeah. Mine's on my step.
Hoping that nobody's out.
Yeah.
I steal away, grab the paper, run back in.
They're like, there's Mikey Miss getting his paper again.
So on that note, somebody asked me via email... You know, we're talking about what the Eagles need. They need more speed, right? But they're going to have to get it from the draft because I'm like, there's the free agent situation for their positions is limited. All right. Now, we talked about Robbie Anderson already. There are only like three wide receivers that are under 30 that would be interesting to them. And one is Robbie Anderson. He's probably the best. Now, he's only making $3 million this year. So he's due for a healthy raise. You're going to have to pay him, what, about 10 in a free agency?
That's the problem. There's going to be multiple suitors, and then do you overpay for a guy? I don't know if you do.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Now, there's Devin Funchess out there.
Yeah.
And he's making $10 million already. Yeah. He's 26. And the only other name at under that's reasonable age is Rashad Perryman, who had a good year this year. But he wasn't that good until this year. So he's 26. He only makes $4 million. He's going to cost you $10 million probably.
Yeah, they got to be careful, and they're going to have to draft really well. And this is the crazy part. There was some crazy stat about the secondary as well. I don't think they've drafted a Pro Bowler in the secondary since 2003.
Yeah, now the secondary is another problem because the top two guys are over 30.
Yeah.
Like Chris Harris is 31, soon to be 32. Jimmy Smith Baltimore's 32. Logan Ryan, who's had some moments... for Tennessee is 29. He's already making $10 million.
I might have to do a short term deal with Harris because I don't know if I can replace that. They're in a tough spot. Can I replace my receiving core and basically my whole secondary in 1 year? You're probably end up going to have to take a chance on somebody on a short term deal.
Yeah, it's going to have to come with a draft.
Yeah.
Most of they're replenishing. All right, let's go to John in Bryn Mawr. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, John?
Great show, as always.
So, thanks, buddy.
Listen, I talked to you about a year ago, and actually, it was the end of the phone call, and you were like, oh, I'd like to have a conversation with you, and I was already gone. But last year, during the tournament, I called you, and I said, I basically ran it on Ben Simmons, his deficiencies, mm-hmm. his weaknesses, and why we had to move on from him. And you're kind of like, oh, it's too early, no way. And I was like, listen, I would trade him right now for the number two overall pick to get a guy like John Morant. And you were like, you laughed at me.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, that's foolish.
Why do you think that's foolish?
Come on.
Oh, Mike, seriously, you need a closer. You need somebody to get right now. John Morant averages 18.
So wait, you would have done it last. Nobody would have done it last year to get John Morant. Now you would do it now for the second pick in the draft. Who's coming out? There's no John Morant coming in this year's draft. Just because you like John Morant, the Sixers weren't ready to trade Ben Simmons last year. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the deal, Mike. Here's the deal. You tell me what he's improved on in 3 years.
I get it, but he's got more of an upside than a Ja Morant does. If he would only do, yes, he does. He's a 6'10 guy who's a defensive stopper who may be one of the fastest players in the league.
If he shoot a free throw, Mike. If he improved his free throw percentage,
you're speaking out of anger.
Point.
You're speaking out of anger, and you're diluting the guy's overall skill set.
Okay, you tell me. We'll see who becomes a better player between Ja Morant and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ja Morant can't grow to 6'10", can he? Is he done growing?
No,
Yeah. 6'10". You got to factor in the 6'10".
Mike, he's a point guard. He won't have to guard guys.
He guards everybody in the league. Come on, man. John, you got too far sometimes. Mark in Cheltenham, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Mark?
Listen, I have the ultimate plan for the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
They have to pull it out. I see the rumors out there, but I really think it's two players. If we get them, we can go to the championship this year. Now, we need to make a trade. That trade to get C.J. McCollum, if we can make that trade, I don't care if we got to get rid of Al Horford, which I don't see them wanting, but if we even got to offer Tobias, I would do it for C.J. And two, I would make a trade for Josh Richardson to New York for Marcus Morris. Now, if we add those two to our starting five, there's no way that we're not going to go to the championship. There's no way.
Come on, man.
There's no way.
Come on. You're Tobias Harris gives you point content. You just can't throw him away in this deal.
Yeah, but he's not. You said it yourself.
I get it. So you're trading Josh Richardson for Marcus Morris. Josh Richardson has more value than Marcus Morris at this stage. You're giving away Josh Richardson.
Correct, but Josh Richardson does not fit on this team. He's not that guy.
But you can't give him away for Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris is a journeyman.
Yeah, but he's averaging 18 points a game right now. 18 points a game.
So Marcus Morris will be your three?
Yes.
And you're telling me that C.J. McCollum would be the two?
The two.
And that's a better team.
Yes, he's your closer. He's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
What
would make you think that Portland would take Tobias Harris for C.J. McCollum?
Because
at a max contract deal.
Because they're both close to max contract. So it's going to be even as far as the trade.
Okay, so then why would they do it? If it's even for the trade, why would Portland do it?
Because they're getting somebody, you know, in comparison as far as the scoring, and he's a bigger guy. You go open it.
Yeah, that's not a good enough reason. There's not that much of an edge for them to get Tobias Harris at a max contract over C.J. McCollum.
I mean, of course, I would throw something else in the pot to sweeten the pot. I mean, but I think that's a trade. The Sixers, they need a closer. And Tobias is not that guy.
Well, all right, Mark. You listen, I don't know what they're... Maybe they think that they have to change the culture of what they are. I don't know. Maybe they are thinking of a radical trade like that.
Let's just make the one trade.
Does that help your bench, that trade? Doesn't help your bench. So now you got Marcus Morris in a Tobias position. C.J. McCollum in the two. Is that a better team?
No. Well, here's the problem.
You can make the case that it might be a little, because C.J. McCollum's going to give you what he gives you.
Yeah, but I'm not making the two trades. What I'm figuring out is if I get McCollum, then Richardson comes off the bench for me. I leave the other guys as is. Just make the one trade. I don't need that Morris trade. Josh Richardson's contract is valuable. You have him this year and next year for like $11
million. Yeah.
So that if something does go wrong in the offseason, you can move him super easy.
Yes.
$11 million is so movable. I'm not moving him. Just do the Tobias for McCollum deal.
Yeah.
And then if I have to start Mike Scott or something, and then have Richardson as my number one bench guy, that helps my bench. And then he'll close for me, whatever it may be. Or I can have Bengard for his late in games and stuff so he can close. But I'm not making that Morris deal. For what? Josh Richardson does have value.
They're more likely to try to add a shooter like Bogdanovich.
He can play.
Yeah, but who would they give for him? Who would the Kings take for him? He's on the last year of a deal, right?
And he refused their extension offers.
Yeah,
so they're
tied up with bigger contracts because they got the guys they invested in, like Hield and Fox.
I don't know what
it would take to get him. But I think the Sixers, rather than changing the entire culture of this team, are thinking of adding a shooter that can come off the bench and give you points.
That to me makes more sense.
Yeah, they're not going to give up on the premise that they put this team together on. All right, 610-622-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.